Could you turn in your Bibles with me to Lamentations 3 and 19? The last couple of times I spoke, a couple of people told me I'm let you have it, so tonight I'm going to try to be encouraging. And I hope that it's a blessing to you. It's, I tell you, it's going to be one of the hardest messages I'm ever given, because sitting, I'm going to speak tonight on God's faithfulness, and sitting down there in the chair, worried and scared to death to come up here, and after studying this message for weeks on God's faithfulness and realizing how faithful He is, and could still sit there and be afraid. So I trust it will be a blessing to you. Lamentations 3 and 19. Remembering my affliction, my misery, the wormwood, the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and I am humbled in me. This I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord, mercies, that we are not consumed, because He has compassion. It's because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. When Jeremiah wrote this, I did a little research on it, and when he wrote this book, it was after he had seen the nation of Israel carried away into Assyria, Judah carried away into Babylon, and destruction, the city of Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed, everything that the Jewish people out there destroyed. And yet, he could say, I have hope. God is faithful. And I wondered in myself, how is it possible, after all this, to have hope? And a part of it, I realized this, because Jeremiah knew God. He knew, and I say this respectfully, he knew who and what God was. He knew that he could be trusted. For somebody to be faithful, there had to be somebody that you could trust, somebody that you could put your hope in, somebody that's been tried and is found true. And this is what Jeremiah knew that God was. A while back I was reading in Exodus, and it struck me, because I had never noticed it before, that God's very name mentioned in Exodus means faithfulness. If you think about it and meditate on it long enough, it means faithfulness. In Exodus 3 and 14, when God was speaking to Moses and telling him to go to Egypt to get the children and to lead them out of Egypt, God said, and I'll read it in Exodus 3 and 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that I am. There's nothing more faithful than that. Some people believe that a better translation of that is, I will be what I will be. I will do what I will do. And there's nothing that could change that. God is unchangeable. That's one of the reasons we could trust in Him, and He's so faithful to us. Because what He said He's going to do, cling back until the beginning of the earth, He's going to do it, because He's unchangeable. There's nothing about His character, nothing about His word, nothing that He ever says that is going to change. From when He created the world until now, He is the same. From before He created the world, and I know it's hard for us to comprehend this and gather this, but He ever was the same. What He was then, He is now, and He's going to be tomorrow. And that helped me to understand why and how he could be so faithful. And another thing I thought of that he helps me to be so faithful, and that's partly how I'm going to try to present this tonight, is the things that makes God so faithful. The things that it's hard for us to understand, but that he does and that he is, that makes him so faithful. And I forgot my glasses tonight, so you have to bear with me as I try to read what I've got written here. In Hebrews 6 and 18, it says, God cannot lie. And we know that. Everybody knows God can't lie. So what he said, what he's going to do, he can't lie. It's going to happen. So that's another thing that, you know, that lets us know that he's going to be faithful to us. When we're in them dark moments, he said he was going to be there. He said he was going to help us. So he's going to be there. He's going to do it. He's going to help us. He's going to be faithful. And Isaiah 11 and 15, it says, God is righteous. And I looked up righteous in the dictionary, and I found something that astounded me. It says, when pertaining or applying to God, righteous means perfection in holiness, exact faithfulness. So because he's righteous, he has to be faithful. If at any time he weren't faithful to what he said he was going to do or to us, then he wouldn't be righteous anymore. He would cease to be righteous if at any time he wasn't faithful. So he has to be faithful. And I thought, you know, so often when we think of faithfulness and we think of our faithfulness, we fall short so many times. I thought, and when somebody comes out to every service, we'll say they are faithful. But sometimes they won't feel well. They'll be tired. They won't be able to come out. But that ain't God. He's all powerful. There's nothing that holds him back. There's absolutely nothing that he can do. So strength can't hold him back. And 1 Chronicles 29 and 11, it says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is in thine, is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. So if he's above everything else, every other circumstance, every other adversity, if he has the power, the strength above all of that, don't you know whatever it is, he could help us in it. He could be faithful to do whatever we need him to do, as long as it's in his will and it's exalting and lifting him up. Don't matter what it is, he's strong enough to do it. He's got the power. There's nobody else that's as strong as him. Isaiah 40 and 25 says, to whom will I liken ye? Let me start over. To whom then will ye liken me? This is God speaking. Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out the host by number? He calleth them all by names, the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one that faileth. He created everything in this world, every creature, every person, everything that could ever get in our way, that could ever hinder us from serving Him, that could ever do anything to hurt us, He created it. So if He created it, it's us to do with whatever pleases Him. And if we need Him to be faithful in something, He could do it, because whatever it is, it's subject to Him. There's nothing that in this world that's not subject to Him. No circumstance, no problem, nothing that does not have to bend or bow to His will. Everything has to bend and bow to His will. And I thought, you know, He created this old world. He created every star. He says right there, He's got them numbered. He knows them by name. So if He knows the vast amount of stars, and I don't think there can be any calculation of the amount of stars that's out there. Don't you know He knows us? And He knows what we need, what we're going through. He knows just exactly when to come, how to come, and to do what we need Him to do. In Hebrews 1 and 3 it says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. If He holds this whole world together, all them stars I just spoke of, all the holds the sea, I thought of the tide and the sea. As the earth spins, the tide just keeps moving. He holds all that right there with His hands, with the word, His power. He says, don't you fall off. Don't you go away. You stay right there. And think about the law of gravity. It's not a law of gravity. It's God. You stay right there on that earth. Don't you move. It's my will that you be placed right there on that earth. It ain't no law of gravity. We're held here with His word, not with something that man could try to come up with and prove. We're here as long as He wants us to be here, as long as He wants us to stay on this earth and be held down. If He wanted us to, right now, we could all be floating. But no, He holds us here with the word of His power. If He could hold us here with the word of His power, don't you think He's worth trusting? Isn't He faithful? Don't you think He has the power to do whatever He said He's going to do? To meet any need that's in our life? I looked up the word Almighty. And I was astonished at the amount of times it's mentioned in the Bible. I knew it was mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament, but it's mentioned 57 times throughout the Bible. And every single time, it's mentioned about God. Not once about a man. Every single time, the whole 57 times, He is called the Almighty, or He is the Almighty. Almighty means having all absolute power over everything that exists. And I thought about that. Absolute power over the devil. Remember in Job, when the sons of God came before God, and God asked Job, he asked the devil where he had been, and he told him, walking about the earth. And God asked him if he had considered his servant Job. And the devil says, yes, but if you weren't protecting, it'd fail, it'd cease. Not until God said, do with him what you will, the devil couldn't touch him. He could not raise his hand against him until God allowed him to. And then he come back. And God told him he could touch his life. He could touch his body. He could not touch even his body. He could not make one hair on Job's head hurt without God giving permission. Even the devil and every adversary that we have is subject wholly and solely to God. Now, don't you think he could be faithful? Don't you think a God with that much power could do whatever he says he's going to do? I know he could. Another reason God could be so faithful to us is he's all-knowing. A lot of times, just take on this one little island. There's so many needs, so many people that are hurting, and we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue what's happening in a person's heart, what's happening in their mind, what they feel in their body. But God knows. He knows everything that they're going through. Psalms 139:23-24 says, "Try me, Lord. Search my thoughts. Search my heart. Know me." If he could search our thoughts, search our hearts, know everything in them, don't you know he knows what we're going through? He knows every problem we're facing. He knows if we're going to have a problem. I'm 37 now. If I'm going to have a problem when I'm 50, if he be not come, if this world's still here and I'm still here, he knows right now. And he's already putting things in the way to help me and to be faithful to me right now. Not only right now, infinity years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 1,000,000 years ago, far as back as our mind could comprehend or think about, then he was putting something in place to be faithful to Jeremy, to fix Jeremy's problem, to help me, way back then. And if God could be that all-knowing, that all-powerful, he could sure be faithful to whatever need we have. And I wish I could have realized that and thought on that sitting there before I got up here. He knew each and every one of us that was going to accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He knew our minds and that. He knew whatever was going to befall you before it befell you. And I think a God that all-knowing could do whatever he says and will do whatever he says he's going to do. In Jeremiah 23:24, it says, "Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill the heaven and the hearth, saith the Lord." So we can't hide our problem from him. We can't go in our closet and say, "All right, now the problems go be hid." We might hide it from ourselves and not want to face it. But we can't hide it from him. We can't take it anywhere in this world. If he fills the old world, the old heavens, and just think of the universes out there. I watched that movie. I can't think of the speaker's name, but I think it's Giggles, his last name, on how awesome our God is and how big the universe is, how far it goes out, how many millions of light years. And it's huge. It's vast. It's uncomprehendable how big this universe is. And we have no idea how many other universes there is. And he fills it all. Can you imagine our big oven is going to be for all the Christians down through the years to be in it. He fills that too. All the Hoshans, everything that we could ever imagine the size of, God fills it all. Every single piece of it. So where could a problem of ours be hid? Nowhere. He's faithful to find it wherever it is. He fills everything. Boy, that clock's ticking fast. You know, a lot of times we'll compare, and on my mind, I'll think of a faithful person, and I'll think towards God's faithfulness in that respect. But no man can even come close to his faithfulness. I mean, if we say, just think everybody in this room, and in my mind, there's a lot of faithful people in this room. Most everybody who's here beats to every single service to this chapel. And I would call that being faithful. Being faithful to this assembly, being faithful to God. But you just think in your mind of every time that you have had an opportunity to witness to somebody about the Lord Jesus' goodness and haven't done it. Think about that. I know it happens to me almost every day. I have an opportunity to witness to somebody, and a lot of times I don't do it. So I ain't really faithful, am I? But God is. He's going to be faithful every single time. He's not going to let one opportunity pass by that we need him, that he's not going to be faithful to us. Every single one. If he didn't, he wouldn't be faithful. If he let one slide by. But he's not going to. He is fully faithful. In Numbers 23 and 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? He will make good on his word, on what he said he's going to do. We've looked at what enables him to be so faithful, and I know there's a lot of things more that helps him and makes him as faithful. I can't find the word to say perfect faithfulness. To make him have the perfect faithfulness that I haven't covered tonight, and you could probably find a whole lot more. I know if you look in the Bible and look up God's faithfulness, it would take probably a week of sitting in front of the computer, nonstop, reading Bible verses that pertain to God being faithful and his faithfulness. So, it's a vast subject, and I just can't cover it all. I thought, if we go look at he's being faithful, we need to know who he's going to be faithful to. There's a lot of talk in this world about everybody, all God's lead to heaven, God's going to be merciful. But God, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, says, God is faithful, by whom we are called unto the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful to those who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. The only time He has ever asked to be, I can't say that He's not, because He's faithful to everybody. Everybody lives. As long as you breathe a breath, God's giving it to you, so He's faithful to you. But the only thing He asks to be faithful to somebody who's lost is when they ask for repentance. When they ask for forgiveness of their sins, recognize their sinner, admit their sinner, ask for forgiveness, God will be faithful to forgive them and to accept them into His home and as His child. He's faithful when we are tempted to help us through that temptation. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." A lot of times, and I felt I had to elaborate on this. I know it may go a little bit off, but people fall under the false assumption that God is the one tempting us. It says in James 1 and 13, God tempts no man. He has never tempted one of us. He will allow us to be tempted. And I thought about that. And you know, when we're tempted and we come through that temptation, what does it do? The Bible says it gives us patience. But more than that, it shows us how faithful God is. It shows us that He was faithful to bring us through that temptation. It shows us that He was going to make a way out of that temptation. And I thought of all the ways that he created to give us a way out of the temptations. And one of the biggest ones is everything's right there. There ain't nothing that we could ever be tempted to do that this ain't got the answer for. There is absolutely nothing that we could be tempted to do that this don't have the way to deter us from doing it. Everything we could ever be tempted to do. The Bible says there's nothing new under the earth, so therefore there's no new sin here today that weren't there when this was written. They may have different forms, but it's still the same sin. And everything is right there. And so many of them, if you go through the epistles of Paul, so many temptations, so many sins listed to tell you that they was going to be sins, tell you that we was going to fall to them, and that we was going to have to fight him. If that ain't a way out, before you ever get into the temptation, what is it? Before you ever fall into that temptation, God done told you was going to do it. You can't get no faithful than that. To tell some, if you was going down the road, and you seen a child standing on the bottom, jumping up and down, wobbling all over the bottom, and stopped and told him, "You go fall off," you'd be done your part. You would have been faithful to protect that child from falling off. And that's the same way God's word is to us. Before we ever fell or ever was tempted, He was faithful in telling us that we were going to be tempted, don't fall. And if God was faithful enough to create a way out for us out of the temptations, He also knew we was going to fall to the temptations. And He knew that He wasn't going to be able to have anything to do with us after we fell to the temptation, after we sinned, that fellowship was going to be broken with Him. So, what did He do? He was faithful to create a way out of that. First John 19:14. No, that's the wrong verse. But it's 1 John 1. Let me get it. 9. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that when we accept the Lord Jesus of our sins as our Savior to save us from our sins, that our sins weren't forgiven. Every single sin that we was ever going to commit was forgiven when we accepted Him. Every sin, past, present, and future. And it has to be future, because when He died, when He shed His blood, our sins were still future. So if it's not for all our future sins, none of them is paid for. The debt is paid for none. So, as I was thinking about this, and I know today that it creates a way for people to say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and do whatever they want. But let me tell you, and Brother Beal touched on this the other night. We know that if we are a Christian and if we love the Lord, we will want fellowship with Him. We will want to be close to Him. We will want to associate with Him. We will want to be found with His people, because where His people are gathered, that's where He is. We will want to have fellowship with Him. So it's not a license to just go out and sin and do whatever you want. It's not. But it is a way to restore fellowship with God. Because in order for us to be close to God and have fellowship with Him, we have to confess every single sin that we commit. If there's a sin in our life, God cannot have fellowship with us. He cannot have no part of sin. And if I'm wrong about this, I'm open to correction. So, when we confess our sins and have, to, in order to regain fellowship with Him, it says He is faithful and just every single time, every single one, every sin, to forgive us and to restore fellowship back with Him. God is faithful in answering prayer. Now, this subject is vast. If I was here for a month, I wouldn't be able to cover this. But just a few things that I thought of and that I found, because that time's going fast, and I know I don't know if I'm halfway through. He's faithful to answer prayer to us because He loves us. Because He don't want to see us suffer. He does not want to be apart from us. He wants us to have everything that our heart desires. But He knows what Jeremy's heart desires. Ain't no good for Jeremy. He knows everything that my heart desires. And He knows this one's good. If I give you that, Jeremy, you go fall. I can't give you that. So when we pray, we know, first off, the Bible says we got to pray in His will. And we got to pray things that He would want. He knows if I pray for $10 million, there's something wrong in my heart. He knows that I'm going to eventually use that money for some wrong thing. And I ain't saying that everybody who's got money, there's something wrong with it. But I know He don't want Jeremy to be rich. Because if He wanted me to be rich, I would be rich. So I know He knows what's best. And I thought of all the times that people are prayed for that are sick. And we've heard a lot of them prayed for here tonight. And I wondered, and I know we all do, how come? Why don't we see them healed? Why doesn't God answer that prayer? Well, He answers the prayer. It's just not the answer we want. And I know anybody who's in here who could remember Mr. Donald. I can remember Mr. Donald standing right there. And I don't believe he ever prayed without mentioning that God always answered prayer. Sometimes with a yes. Sometimes with a no. Sometimes with wait on my time. Wait until I think it right. And I thought on the story of the blind man. You know, in John 16 and 25, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus why that man was blind, who had sinned, his mother or his father or him. And the Lord Jesus said, neither one. He's blind so I can get the glory. So you can see that I am going to heal him. So you could see how faithful I am. And a lot of times, that's why a lot of prayers that we think should be answered yes, is answered no, or is answered wait. So we could see the Lord Jesus' glory in it. So He could get the glory. And so we could see His faithfulness. Well, my time's gone. The next time I get to speak, I had, well, I know we have finished this message, and I had a list of promises. You know, He's faithful to answer His promise. We already seen that. And we could see that down through, all through the Bible, all the people, the promises that He answered. And I've got a list here of His promises. I want to go through these just in closing. And to note that He's either He has been faithful or He's going to be faithful to keep every single one. He promised to give us the Holy Spirit. And every one of us in here that are saved, He has given the Holy Spirit. And along with the gift of the Holy Spirit has promised to give us certain things. And as the Holy Spirit is God, therefore, that falls under God's faithfulness. He promised to give us joy, peace, and hope. We've seen there tonight how we have hope. And the peace, what more peace can you have than knowing your sins are forgiven? And I better stop elaborating because I'll never get through them. He promised us that we'd be sanctified through the Holy Spirit in Romans 1 and 1. He promised us that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1 and 3. That means that we are sealed. The Holy Spirit will never let us fall away from the Lord Jesus. We will always be saved. He promised that He would help us to pray. Just with groanings, He would tell us what to pray and let us know what to pray. He promised, and some of the things that God promised outside of the Holy Spirit, and eternal inheritance. We have inheritance in heaven that never fadeth away, that never corrupteth. We have inheritance in his eternal kingdom. So we're going to rule with him. That just blows my mind. The Lord Jesus in John 14:3 promised he was coming back for us. He promised us, and we've been promised in 1 John 2:25 and Titus 1:2 that we have eternal life. We are going, not this body, but our souls is going to live forever with him. To have an eternal inheritance, you gotta live eternally to enjoy. He promised us, where two or three are gathered, there he was going to be with us. He promised us that he was going to be right here with us every single time we meet here. And he's right here with us right now. Don't you think, I know it's only a small things that I've mentioned, but don't you think of God or the capacity that we've just seen, able to do and know and think what we've just seen, can be faithful and will be faithful to everything he said he's going to do, to every promise he's made. We have a great God, all powerful, all faithful, will never ever fail. We could put our hope in him. We could put our trust in him. He's tried and he's true and he will come through. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're faithful to hear every prayer, to answer every promise. We thank you that you will do all that you said you were going to do, and that in no way you will ever be unfaithful to us. We ask that you would help us to keep this in our thoughts, and that in return we would be more faithful to you. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I trust it's been a blessing to you. I hope it's blessed your heart and encouraged you. Thank you for listening.